If you like weird history, true crime, haunted and paranormal, then pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a video component to our favorite Ghost Town episodes at youtube.com/Jason Horton. Episodes like The Los Feliz Murder House, The Toxic Lady, The Black Dahlia, Janis Joplin's Hotel Room, The Haunted Roosevelt Hotel, and more. Just go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. That's youtube.com/JasonHorton. And while you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Thank you. It's Friends Without Benefits. It's the Friends Without Benefits podcast. My name is Jason Horton. Welcome to the show. Today's guest is my friend Merrick McCartha. He is an actor. You may have seen him on numerous commercials and a lot of television shows, like some Disney shows, and then shows like Criminal Minds, NCIS, Scorpion, like those kind of intense, I don't know if they're procedural or whatever they are, but he's the guy. Like, he's the guy that does that, and he's good at that, you know, kind of on the drama tip. We've been friends for a while. We met in San Diego through the improv scene, and he is an example of somebody that had a career, was well into it, and was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Life changes. I'm going to do acting, which a lot of people do, and he did it with a lot of success. And we talk about how, you know, there's a lot of actors that, you know, they spend their lives, they go to, you know, they do theater in high school. And I think he did some of that, but like they had a trajectory of like, I'm going to be an actor or performer from a young age. And they go through that and they go down that road. And he's somebody that just decided to switch careers and is now a working, very successful actor. And I think that he will probably be kind of a household name. Not just because we're friends, but he just looks like somebody's like, yeah, that guy's going to be famous, or whatever fame means. So I was excited to talk to him, found out a lot about him that I didn't know. And that's usually how it goes when I do the show. I just find out things that I did not know about people. And I selfishly use the podcast to make that happen. I was also on another podcast, Shit They Never Tell You, or Shit They Should Tell You, or Shit They Never Told You, one of those. My friends Nikki and Steve, they have a podcast. It's on CastBox, Apple Podcast. You can check it out. Shit They Never Told You. That's what it is. It's the cursing that throws me off, you know what I mean? Because I'm very, very sensitive. But I was on their newest episode. Check that out. I talk about just getting old. They were like, and I knew it. When I went to go do their podcast, I was like, it's going to be about me being old. Because I'm probably the oldest person they know. Their parents, a close second. So that was good. You know, I got a little real on there. But it wasn't too heavy, but I mean, I got a little real because that's, you know, that's the nature of the conversation. So I did that. This is something that actually has me, I don't know, a little rattled. MoviePass. I don't know if anyone out there is MoviePass. I've been a fan of MoviePass for a while, and I've been holding on, and I've just been rolling with the punches, and I don't know. I don't know if I could hang on any longer. I think I'm gonna quit. And I'm not mad at them. They have an interesting business model, and I think there's, you know, and I'm sure they pulled some data from that, and hopefully they, you know, recover. And I kind of wish that's my wife in Las Vegas with her friends texting me. Probably 'cause she's like, he probably cleaned the toilet today. Let me text him and see how he's doing. Yeah, she went to Las Vegas with her friends because she has disposable income and friends. So she's there, and I'm here, happy to be here, talking about MoviePass. That's what I'm fixated on, and I think I'm just going to – it just doesn't add up. You know, there's the surge prices, and then it's like some of these movies – you can't go to a movie before 5 o'clock now. I like to go to the movies in the morning. Like 10 a.m., that's my movie time. That's when I like to go. My brain's ready. I don't have to deal with too many people. So I think I'm going to do the AMC thing. I don't know. If you have an opinion on it, you can email me fwbpod@gmail.com if you want, or you can message me on Instagram, which is the Jason Horton, or whatever. Find me, and we'll talk about it, because I would love to discuss the ins and outs of that. But I think I'm going to do it. Probably tonight. I'm going to cancel. I have to. And I've been holding out for a while. So, yeah, I know. Pretty intense. Also, Ghost Town podcast has been doing really well. People have been really into it. And it really caters to my interest in, you know, places that are abandoned, haunted, mysterious. And people seem to like it. Rebecca and I really enjoy doing it. And if you haven't checked it out, it's Ghost Town. You can get it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get podcasts. And we also have a Patreon, because this is the kind of show that we want to kind of take on the road with a little bit of travel. So that's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. So check it out. And, you know, you can rate and review both of these shows on iTunes if you haven't yet. If you've been listening and it takes seconds to do it, you know, just rate it, review it. Be creative, lie if you want to. I don't care. I don't care if you're fake. I don't care if you give it 5 stars and you're like, great. Because anytime I go to an audition, that's what they say at the audition. They're like, great. And I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, you're not good at this. Find something else to do. If you're good at anything else. And I'm not. I mean, not that I'm good at that. I'm just not, you know what I mean? Can I hang out with like my cats? Can I do that and then go visit abandoned places or like historic landmarks that have been in like movies and TV shows? That's what I love doing. If you want to see some of the pictures, and either you could check out both Instagrams, Ghost Town Pod or The Jason Horton on Instagram. Well, I know one thing I don't have to worry about: contact lenses. I'm set. I was at a time not set. I am set. There's a million things demanding your time, and contact lenses shouldn't be one of them. Simple Contacts lets you renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. Anywhere. Wherever you are. Easy. Very easy. The doctor's office is now wherever you are. The Simple Contacts vision test is a self-guided test, and it takes about 5 minutes. I did it. It's true. It's not just a claim. It actually took less than 5 minutes for me. Think how much time you'd save compared to making an appointment, going to the eye doctor, taking time off, parking. No, don't need to. It's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists. They review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision has not changed. Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses you need. I have an astigmatism, so they have brands for me. Happy about that. So you never have to shop around to find the lenses at the best price. Simple Contacts has that. It's been rated 5 stars over 4,500 times on the App Store. You can text the support team, and they'll get back to you with an actual person, not a robot. I've texted with them, and it's a real person. It's very, I don't know, it's comforting. Somebody texted me. I got excited. It was Simple Contacts. I was fine with that. It's summer, and there's no shortage of reasons to have contacts on hand: beach days, vacations, outdoor activities, weddings. Use Simple Contacts to stock up for the season. Not stop up, stock up, be ready. Sometimes I don't want to wear my glasses. Sometimes I want to wear contacts. Like, I want to be able to see clearly, but not have glasses on. That's just how I am. And Simple Contacts, there was a while where I was not wearing contact lenses for all the reasons that Simple Contacts has fixed. So I'm set. I'm good. The vision test is only $20. Compare that with an appointment, which without insurance can cost up to $200. You know, you've been there. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, they're offering an awesome promotion. Yes, you can get $20 off your contacts. Go to simplecontacts.com/friends20. That's simplecontacts.com/friends20. Also, this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. They only test your current prescription to make sure you're seeing 20/20 and renew that prescription. They don't write a completely new prescription or examine eye health. So They just check it out, make sure you're good, and they're good, you're hooked up. SimpleContacts.com/friends20. Promo code friends20. SimpleContacts.com/friends20 and promo code friends20. All right, let's get into my conversation with Merrick MacArthur. I mean, I know how we met. In San Diego.
We met in San Diego.
That's easy.
I know. It was a bathhouse over in University.
Yeah.
It was like 3 in the morning.
Hillcrest area.
Yeah.
And I usually didn't stay out past 2 a.m., but I'm glad I did.
I know, right? I was walking by, as were you, the opposite way, and these two dudes in leather chaps cap came out, and they're like, hey, there's tequila in here. We're like,
let's go in. Let's do that. And then we're like, hey, you want to do improv?
I know, exactly.
Which is the next? So we met. Doing improv.
Yeah, we met doing improv, and I think you were. I'm not sure if at that time you were doing like a little improv workshop. I know I've been to at least one or two of your workshops.
Yeah, anyway, when I was doing that in San Diego. Yeah,
I actually credit you for teaching me a lot about improv.
Really?
Yeah.
And you managed to succeed even despite that.
Yeah.
Despite all, literally now all odds, right? I took away tools. You had tools and I took them away from you.
No, yeah. You're always amazingly funny and very helpful and helped me understand. Because I knew nothing about improv when I met you.
Yeah.
And now I'm a master. No, I don't.
Listen, it's like a nebulous kind of thing, like what's good and what's bad, and you know what I mean? It's just like what you get out of it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to, like, We're gonna before we move forward, we're gonna move backwards
because
I really don't know anything about you.
Hmm.
And this is what I love about this podcast. I like to find out. I want to find out how you got here.
Hmm.
Are you suspicious or?
Yeah. Now.
Yeah. Good. Good. I want you to
now,
be kind of cagey.
Jerry
I want you to be,
Springer's gonna come out.
No, I want you to be like. I didn't do any research. I didn't do any research. It's researchless. It's all gonna come from my kind of navigation of this, and we'll see where it goes.
Okay,
kind of how it works. So where are you from originally?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan originally.
Okay.
My mother and father were Detroit police officers, and dead silence there.
This is cool. I feel like I'm like is this gonna go true crime? I mean, this is
no.
Like okay.
No, they were very good parents.
What did they work in the police department? What did they were they just?
They were patrol officers. Yeah. My father has interesting stories about him working vice for many years, and just crazy story. You know, they come home with these crazy. One day he didn't help, but he and his partner came across this guy in a parking lot in Detroit, searching through his back seat. And let's say, what's going on? He's like, oh yeah, my snake. It's like a giant python snake. It's got out of my bag, and now it's coiled under my back. So I'm trying to get it out. And his partner's like, yeah, let's help. My dad's like, fuck no, I'm not helping.
Yeah.
So that was one. You know, there's, you know, all kinds of other crazy things happening.
Oh, I imagine there's probably no normal stories for Detroit, I would imagine. I've been to Detroit once, and it was interesting. It was a cool city, you know what I mean? I mean, it's got tons of, especially with music and stuff like that. And culture is like amazing. Like for me, like kind of like the Stooges or the MC5 and like that kind of like punk kind of stuff, that rock that came from Detroit has always been fascinating to me. But it's like I don't know. It's just like one of those. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in Detroit, I grew up as a kid listening to Motown music throughout my household. But as I grew up, and it's fairly diverse city, even though predominantly black, music-wise, very diverse. Yeah. So as I grew up in my teen years, that's when I learned more about, you know, rock and alternative music and stuff like that. The different clubs downtown Detroit were pretty famous. St. Andrews Hall, a lot of these big, you know, places down there.
Eminem.
He wasn't around.
He wasn't?
He was always around.
Maybe. In some way, shape, or form, Eminem has always kind of been here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the 8 Mile hymn.
Sure.
8 Mile is actually, it's kind of just on the outskirts of what we consider central Detroit, even back, you know, way back then. So it's accurately depicted in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, you know, sort of middle class, lower middle class white family. That's kind of where you'd find an 8 Mile. So, yeah.
Did your parents meet in the police force, or were they?
No, that's in, no. Yeah. Our family grew up in the projects in Detroit, yeah. And my dad originally worked for Chrysler, power. You know, everyone works for car companies.
Sure.
And I remember and he was in the military before that, and he got a house on a VA loan, and he worked for Chrysler. And then somehow I remember one day walking down, and my mom and dad are studying for their academy entrance or whatever. I don't know what's going on.
Was it their interest in the law and justice, or was it job opportunity based? Or
I think it may have been a recruitment effort in Detroit. The mayor at the time was Mayor Coleman Young, and he was really pushing for more representative.
Was he corrupt?
Lots of allegations of him being corrupt.
Yeah, I just watched a documentary on White Boy Rick.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
yes.
I just watched that.
Oh yeah, I actually read up on that too, because I'm like, I remember that story when I was there about White Boy Rick and his name sort of floating around the neighborhoods as this guy. But then there's like these, I'm looking forward to seeing what Matthew McConaughey and those guys do with that story. But Mayor Young, I mean, he's got some stuff. But I think the main thing about him is that he, as much as he did that would be corrupt, I think he really sort of kept outside forces from, bringing down Detroit and taking advantage of it in their way. And, maybe his thing was, hey, I want a piece of this if you're coming in, and they didn't want to do it. But when I left years ago, it was, pretty solid. And then after he left office and passed away, then I saw this decline in Detroit. But yeah, so I was there, went to University of Michigan, and then transferred to moved to California suddenly and transferred to.
What did did your parents have any aspirations for you? Did they want you to follow in their footsteps, or is there anything that they wanted to?
They always thought I'd be like, the college prep. No, they kind of really oriented me to be this college prep kid who would go off and be some kind of a lawyer, doctor, or something.
You showed them.
Yeah, I'm like, mom and dad want me to be a wealthy, respectable citizen.
Yeah.
Forget that. I'm taking improv classes with Jason Horton in San Diego.
They're like, oh, no, not him. did you have interest in entertainment as far back as?
A little bit. When I was growing up, I went to this high school called Cass Tech High School in Detroit, which is famous for a lot of stars coming out of there. Lily Tomlin went to Cass Tech, Dinah Ross, Cass Tech. A lot of Del Reese. I mean, all these famous people were coming out of Cass Tech, but it was a big school to test into. And so they had a performing arts department there was pretty strong. So I got into it, I was really into it. But prior to going to high school, I always geared myself into mathematics and engineering. So I was in their electronics engineering curriculum or tract in high school. And that's where I was headed, is to be an electrical engineer.
And was that kind of like, I want to have like a kind of more sensible kind of career path?
It was just my mindset. Yeah. It was safe. I was good at it. I was told you get a job with a good salary, you buy a house, you raise kids, you go on a vacation to Florida once a year, and then you die miserable. But that was what I was taught.
Yeah. What derailed you from that?
I think I saw someone, I saw one of my engineering bosses and how miserable he was. Yeah. And I was like, man, I don't want.
Yeah. And then did you start pursuing the arts?
No, a lot of things triggered it. But yeah, I mean, that was, I did become an engineer.
Yeah.
And then I veered off and a lot of things changed with, my life and what I wanted. And my mother was one who encouraged me, hey, you should really still try to do the acting thing. You like theater in high school. I said, nah. And I just started to slowly step into it. Through acting classes and
starting in Detroit?
In Detroit I did some in high school, but it wasn't until I got to San Diego that I started to really step into it.
What year did you move to San Diego?
I don't know. It was
a while ago?
A while back.
Okay. So you're back a while back. Okay. So what was it like coming from Detroit to San Diego, was there some culture shock for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was for me. I mean, I'm just wondering, I wonder if there was.
When you moved from Detroit to San Diego, it was
I come from New York, okay? upstate New York. Pretty much the nothing of Detroit, okay? I get it. Well, I think it was for me because growing up, watching, consuming TV and movies, I always thought, California was a place that other people lived in. I just watched.
Yeah.
Or like I watched Beverly Hills 90210 or like, you know, the 80s movies that are like they're in malls, like in the valley. So when I got to San Diego, I thought it was pretty cool, but I thought it seemed – number one, it seemed a little bit conservative to me.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to San Diego in 2002. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of – not that that was, you know, a good or bad thing, but it's just something I was like, oh, it's interesting. I thought California was just California, man. Like everything's cool.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you?
That was it. I grew up with, you know, the four seasons in Detroit. It was a little bit of summer, then great fall.
I think with the band, and I was like, the Four Seasons are from New Jersey.
Not those guys.
Yeah.
The cold winters, the snow, the slush, the blizzard stuff. And then getting out to California, I was like, wow, these palm trees really exist. They're not plastic. They actually grow out of the ground.
But I think don't they plant palm trees? Don't they do something like the palm trees originally were not indigenous to like Southern California and they were put there?
I don't know. But I just remember that was one of the icons for me is the palm trees.
Oh, yeah.
And the sun's the constant sunshine.
I'm just going to just veer for a second. Now, was like the car industry was really big in Detroit, but and I don't know what the timeline when they really started like kind of shutting down, like the industry was leaving Detroit, right? That for overseas. I mean, is that something that when it comes to the car industry, Ford or whatever?
No, I still have family that work for car companies there. Old classmates that are still working for car companies as engineers, executives, stuff like that. But I think it was. I think maybe there was a slight downturn in other things, not just the car industry, and that kind of brought a lot down. The car industry was definitely a driving force. So I mean, my relatives, I moved from the South to Detroit for jobs in the automobile industry.
Okay,
so that's where they all kind of. We're going. And that was the thing. In high school, it was like, hey, you go to high school. They didn't want me to go to college. Some family members didn't want, because they were like, why are you going to college? You can just graduate, get a job at the plant. There's jobs right there for you. And they didn't get it. And so my parents were, why I thought, oh, they've got the better idea there. Saying go to college.
Yeah.
Get a degree.
So when you moved to why did you pick San Diego from Detroit?
My girlfriend at the time moved to San Diego.
The girl.
Mm-hmm. Chasing the girl. Chasing the girl, and moved out here, and actually came to visit because she moved, and I was going to come and visit. I'm like, well, let's see what happens. And then I was hooked after like one visit. I'm going to move back.
Yeah.
And for years after I moved to San Diego, my family were like, okay, so when are you coming back? I'm like, no, this is.
I think that's a common thing people say, like, but when are you coming back or whatever? And it's like, why would I do that?
Yeah, no.
I love California.
Yeah.
Love it. I know some people are like, especially Los Angeles, they're down on it, or it's like LA sucks. And I'm like, it's great. For all that sucks about it, it's great. I mean, I don't know. I have a pretty positive opinion on it.
Yeah. Yeah. People get wound up about, oh man, the people are just terrible people. I'm like, well, just pick different people as other people.
Yeah. So you come to San Diego, then what's your next moves like?
Then I continued school. I did become an engineer, but I did that. I was an electrical engineer for a company that made computers for satellites and did that for a number of years and was, happy with my career.
So you're a corporate dude.
I, engineer, but in the
corporate environment.
Yeah, I was in that, I was in that
401k thing. Environment, we'll call that, right?
Yeah,
that
401k. I was in the 401k cubicle environment for a thing, working cubicles and test labs, stuff like that.
When you were in it, did you enjoy it? Was it something you liked, or was it something you felt like you were missing something? Because some people at jobs are kind of like, oh, I just want to get out of here. I should be doing something else. Or some people are like, I really, really enjoyed what I was doing.
Nah, it was, I don't know. I guess I felt, my attitude was just, the world was gray. I don't know. It was not fun. It was like, this is what I'm doing,
How did the relationship go with the girl?
We ended up getting married.
Okay.
Pretty soon after I moved out here, and we were married for a number of years while I was an engineer.
Okay.
And then we divorced.
Okay.
And I became an actor.
Was that your, like, was that, because I feel like that's, like, kind of, like, if you, I mean, there's got to be a TV show or movie out there where that's the thing, you know what I mean? Or you know, because of, like, this catalyst, like, you, the sea change happens, or the shift happens.
That was around that time, it was a big sea change.
Yeah.
You know, splitting up, my mother passed away around the same time, and all these things are like, okay, I've got to do something else, because I
just does like kind of like your the like time and like where you're at really starts to like kind of you know, you sort of focus on those things, like how much time is there for me to do what I want to do, or like how am I spending my time, or like where am I doing what I want to be doing. I mean, I do this every single day though, unfortunately. I'm always kind of like, what should I be doing? Should I be doing this? Should I be like on this podcast right now? Should I be doing this?
Yeah,
I should be. Yeah. Right? Okay, cool. Well, I'm already here. I'm already sitting. You know what I mean? I don't want to get up.
Yeah.
Just a second. So, like, did you have, like, I imagine that you're like, well, I need, did you have an understanding of at least the San Diego community of acting before that? Or were you just like, I'm going to be an actor and then I'll do the research?
No, I didn't. And San Diego has a tight-knit community there. That community is much smaller than Los Angeles. So I didn't know anyone at all. I looked at this is around the time when you know, things like Craigslist were out, and they were somewhat trustworthy. I guess, I don't know,
those misconnections.
I know. I don't think you got murdered as much when you went to Craigslist. So I know I got murdered a lot less when I went to.
Oh wait, like 30% less murders.
I didn't get murdered nearly as many times as I did.
Yeah.
So I saw something ad about, hey, become an actor or become, you know, and I went to see this woman in San Diego, and she kind of went me through. Okay.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, you don't know anything. I'm like, yeah, I know that. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, I can help you get started on what you need to do.
Was that a legitimate endeavor? Because, you know, it just sounds like a kind of like.
No, there are a lot of them that, there are a few couple that I've heard of that where they're like, hey, pay me $5,000 and I'll show you how to become an actor. You'll be in the next Will Smith movie. Yeah. I'm like, so I never went that way. This woman, she charged a fee, but it was like nominal.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, this is what you need. She got me all set up, things I didn't know. And I met with a couple of casting people. I got these headshots from the photographer guy down there. And I just, you know, I started auditioning, not knowing. And I took an acting class out there. And I started to sort of slowly find my way.
Hey, I'm Roy.
And I'm Maul.
And we're the hosts of the new Rory and Maul podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right. We're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, movies, TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course. Just lifestyle stuff.
And give out crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Rory Maul podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.
Were you enjoying the process at the time because it was new, or did you find it daunting? Or
I at the time, it was new and exciting.
Yeah.
And I think some part into this, I realized that I wasn't really good. Like, I knew that I need to get better. Like, I want to do this, but I know right now I'm not good.
That's a good thing to be, where you're like, listen, I know what my potential could be. I know I'm not at that now.
Right.
And I know I've worked to where sometimes other people don't realize that. Like, it's, they think like, no, whatever I'm putting out is good whenever I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
You know, can I get better? Sure. But right now I'm still giving you more than what you should have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like that with stand up, where I'm like up there and I'm like, you know, you've been kind enough to come to my shows you know, where most people don't go to people's things in Los Angeles. You actually have come to some of my stand-up shows, which is very, very kind, and I appreciate it.
No, it's not kind. I just want to laugh. I know you're naturally funny. So I'm like, all right, I'll go see Jason Horton. Mm-hmm. He's a funny guy. So I wanted to go.
But I'm like that with this, where I'm like up there, and I'm like, you know what, where I'm at right now, it's exactly where I should be. Yeah. But I know myself, and I know all the moving parts, and I know that it should be at a different place. But I'm willing and enjoying putting in the work. You know, I don't have 10 years to do it, where some people are like, I've been doing this for 15 years. Like, I know I don't have that time, but fortunately I have some, you know, kind of equity and like performance and stuff like that. So I kind of have that feeling. So You're probably meeting a lot of people and networking with a new group of people through acting classes and auditions and stuff, right, in San Diego?
Yeah. So I started to get out more. The woman was Cammie Carpenter in San Diego. Mm-hmm. She has a studio called, a business called Hollywood Talent Associates.
Okay.
So on Craigslist, you see that, and it's like, all right, Hollywood. I'll go.
Yeah.
And she's actually, she knows her stuff. She's like, okay, this is what you need. So I ventured out and I did this 48-hour film competition.
Oh yeah, the 48. Yeah, I've done one. I've done one of those. Yeah,
that was my first foray into doing a short film, really. And I did that, and it was a great. I had a great team of people working with me, friends, people that I'm still dear friends with today. And we won some awards that year. So after doing that, and they do a thing where they screen your movie on the big screen in a real theater. And after seeing our film and me on the screen, I'm like, I could do this.
You didn't look at yourself and go, would be like, I don't want to see. Like, was it awkward to see yourself, or did you enjoy looking at yourself?
I think after seeing that, I was like, I actually don't look terrible up there. I actually sound pretty good. I look like I know what I'm doing.
Right, and that's really what it is, right? Like, I just, like, I believe that, and that's really all it is.
Yeah,
like, you believe that, like, that is, I'm doing the work.
Yeah.
So you, to be clear, so you are like becoming an actor because, you know, you either you hear a lot of interviews or you talk to some people like, yeah, you know, I started doing, commercial, I was a child actor. I started commercials and I was, went to NYU. But you just switched gears and you were not an actor. And then you were like, I am an actor.
Right.
Pretty much.
I was not pursuing acting and then suddenly I was pursuing acting. It wasn't from childhood I was doing, Johnson & Johnson commercials. It wasn't
right,
that.
Yeah.
It was just...
I started doing comedy at I did a couple of things, like a little high school theater and a couple of comedy videos in the 90s trying to make that stuff. But I really didn't start doing any comedy attempting to until I was like 29. So I was like, I consider myself like a late bloomer when it came to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I like to hear stories where people are like, I wasn't, I didn't go to like a performing arts high school and that you can decide that if you're an actor and you're like, I want to be, an engineer, I can be an engineer. I don't know those kind of things. This is where it's, because I never really, I always kind of assumed that you lived in San Diego,
mm-hmm.
but you were doing so much work.
Mm-hmm.
In LA, and I didn't realize that you moved up here till recently.
Oh yeah,
we talked about that. Yeah,
yeah.
But you're also not one of those. You're not very one of those people like on the internet that's always kind of talking about themselves and the kind of like, look at what I'm doing. Like, here's me doing this and that. So I would know.
I do that. I say,
no, but you put out a fair amount considering what you're doing. Well, a lot of people aren't really doing that much, but they're putting out a lot. I was like, you're putting out a lot of information, but there's nothing really behind it.
Yeah.
So I think you're putting out an adequate amount, considering that the work you're doing.
If I'm doing, I'll post something, but I try not to post things that aren't. Make it as if I'm doing something that isn't.
Sure.
If I was doing background work on a movie with Robert De Niro, I would go, hey, I'm hanging out with Robert De Niro.
Yeah, it's like, I'm on another day on set. Listen, I've done tons of extra work, especially in San Diego.
Yeah.
I made a lot of money in San Diego doing SAG extra background work.
Mm-hmm,
I'm very thankful for that. Veronica Mars, thank you for the money and the food, because it was great. It's hard work. It's decent work. It's honorable work.
And that's the other thing, too, about me in San Diego is that when I started pursuing it, that was right at the decline of the industry in San Diego.
Like Stu Siegel Productions?
Right. When I first got there, there was this thriving TV community, industry in San Diego with this main studio, Stu Siegel, producing these TV shows on USA Network. There's like three or four shows running at one time. And I just came to the tail end of that, and it just went down. And I think the last show TV show they tried to produce, and they shot like 8 episodes. Yeah. And they only aired 3 or something like that.
Yeah,
and then just nothing really since then. I think the show Pitch was sort of a thing, and that went for a season. But otherwise, it's been pretty tough. And once I got better at what I was taking more classes and different teachers
learning in San Diego.
In San Diego, so there's Carrie Scott,
which I've taken. Yeah,
Terry Ross. There's Billy Cowart. These are great teachers there, and I learned. I learned why I was terrible. They kind of taught me, this is why you're terrible. They didn't say that.
Yeah.
They don't say that. Well, some teachers say that.
I guess. But you're inadvertently, that's what you're, you know,
They don't say you're terrible. They just make you realize this is what you need to work on.
Yeah.
And so I got an agent in San Diego that, and they still have these industrials in San Diego.
Yeah.
That people work from. Like, I get a call from my agent in San Diego, hey, this industrial is paying this. Do you want to come down and do it? And yes or no.
Yeah.
So that's still, you know, a thing. Yeah. A lot of industrials are maybe
like a college or some kind of like
medical companies or tech companies.
Yeah.
They have these little commercials they'll produce in San Diego. So I still did that, but I also pursued agents in LA when I was still living there. And that was tough.
Yeah. I mean, I used to drive, I started doing improv classes at Iowa West. I would drive up from San Diego to take these classes, and then to do the shows. And you loved it, but it's brutal.
Yeah. At least you got to spend hours up here doing something.
So you come up for an audition.
Yeah. Because when I was first coming up here, and I did finally get a commercial agent, I come up for these commercial auditions. And you've been on these because you're an improv. You go up, and there's no script, so you don't know what's going to happen when you get there. You drive 3 hours from San Diego. You get there. You walk in the room. It's all right. Tell me your name. Okay. Turn to the side. Great. Yeah, turn to the other side. Great. And what do you do? What are you from? Oh, I like to, moonboard. I don't know what you do.
Yeah.
And okay, great. Thank you very much. And that's it.
Yeah.
And you drive 3 hours back. Yeah. So, yeah.
How long did you do that for?
Well, I did that... at least a couple of years of going through that process. And it wasn't...
Did you ever book any of those?
Yeah. Every now and again.
Enough to make you keep doing it?
Not really. Yeah. I was just crazy. I was like, I want... I was happy to have an agent, even commercially. And I thought, okay, my next is to get a theatrical, and I don't want to lose my commercial agent. And so I did that for... And it wasn't a lot. I mean, I wasn't coming up here every day doing that. It was like every other week or every... 3 weeks, I would get something. Say, drive up, and it was like, okay, because I was still doing work in San Diego. When I did, it was like, my friend's like, what are you doing? You show 6 hours, and you spend 5 minutes.
Yeah. Because then, if anything, you get the call back, and then it would be maybe you get put on a veil, and then maybe you film it, and then maybe it airs. It's like, this is why I don't like commercial editions. There's just so many levels to it not succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like driving from the east side to the west side to go to Santa Monica for an audition. Like, I didn't mind going to the Valley or if it was in Hollywood, but so I've kind of gotten, I say spoiled, but I'm just kind of I'm realistic with my time and interest and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what was the first thing you booked of general note, like of any general mainstream thing that people would have heard of? Because I know you've been on like a zillion things, so I don't wonder just what was the first thing that you...
I think in L.A., the first thing I booked was Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds, okay. And before you booked your very first thing, what was your thought about, am I going to be successful in this? Because you don't know if you're going to be successful... until you succeed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you're like, hey, listen, I'm just happy with the process. You know what I mean? So when you booked that first big thing, what did that change your, I'm in a different place now, I guess, in the sense, because you went through all the processes, classes, networking, auditioning, and then whatever you had, callbacks, or however that worked, and then actually booking it and filming it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, at that point, we were like, oh, okay. This is becoming very, very, very real, I guess. I don't know.
No, yeah. I think after booking Criminal Minds, after that is when I got my first theatrical agent.
So, it's interesting. So, you got the first agent after. So, the chicken and the egg thing for you was the work, then the agent.
Right. I actually got to do performances in front of... the actor performances in front of the casting director.
Like the workshops,
The workshops for Scott David, who's who's the casting director for Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
And so he got to know me, he got to see how I could do good work. And he'd call me in for auditions.
Had you been in with him before?
I had been in a couple times for different things. Yeah. And then this one role I came in, I just, did really well, had a good audition.
Yeah.
And... unlike a commercial audition, I found out on my drive home that I booked the job.
Yeah, yeah. So were you in San Diego at this time?
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Still in San Diego, drove up, auditioned, and on my drive back, hey, you booked the job. And it was interesting. It was me as a politician. So they had this little half blurb. It was a co-star role.
Yeah.
have blurb me giving a speech, and I book the job, and it's going to shoot the following week. Yeah. And then Friday comes, and they're like, emergency, contact me. Oh, Merrick, wait, yeah. check your email, hurry up. Yeah. I get it, and they're like, well, you okay with a couple more lines? I'm like, yeah. And I open it, it's like a page of
okay.
dialogue.
Does that make you put you to guest star? Does that change the...
No.
It's still a co-star?
They were like, hey...
Just do more work.
Take it or leave it, buddy. Yeah. Here's. And I'm like, yes, I'll take it. And it's sure. more screen time, which it was. It was yeah. significant time. That show, I got to, well, my scenes were with Charlie Gibson, mm-hmm. who's the lead, and Joe Mantegna,
yeah.
who's also there. And Joe Mantegna is like the best guy to work with.
Yeah.
He kind of talks like a mobster.
Sort of, yeah.
But in real life, he does.
Yeah.
He does. We were out waiting, and he was like on the phone. And I think he was like ordering a birthday cake for his granddaughter.
Yeah.
And he was just, he's like, so you know what you want to do?
Yeah.
You want to really put on the icing on that. That'd be a good thing if you did that.
Yeah.
He was like that. Yeah. I was like laughing.
Yeah.
It's like he's ordering a birthday cake for his granddaughter.
So are you starting to think about moving to LA at this point?
At that point, no. Because I'm like, okay, this is great. But I did this after, I don't know, 4 years of tracking up and down here. So I can't stake steady work on this. So I'm thinking, okay, if I can do this, and I'm.
Are you still? Are you working? You're not doing engineering at this point.
No.
So what are you doing?
Any job I could.
Yeah.
I did.
But you were booking some like industrials and commercials.
Yeah, and San Diego was keeping me pretty busy as well. So it was like any kind of part-time on-call job that I would relocate myself to.
And it worked.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It was, it was still grueling.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it to the faint of heart.
But no, yeah. It's a grind.
Yeah.
It's all a grind. So then what comes next, I guess?
So after that, I'm on Criminal Minds. I'm thinking, I got an agent now. I'm going to start seeing big auditions.
Yeah.
I'm a serious actor. I trained in serious dramatic acting teachers. And my next big job that I booked was the character of the chaplain on the Disney show, Jesse.
Okay.
Yeah. It was not dramatic.
Yeah.
It was Disney is one of those networks, and they do these over the top comedies, and they really believe in their writing. Yeah. Every line is funny, and so when I did the audition, the casting person my main line was something to the equivalent of what you're talking about, Willis. It was like, and they're like, oh my god, that's so funny. I'm like, what's funny about this? And I get to set, and it's the same. The director says, oh, my God, that's hilarious. Oh, do it again. Oh, my God. Yeah, they're all laughing every time I said it. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
But it's not up. Yeah, it's not for you to, like,
really. No, it's not. This is the audience. Yeah. And and that was a guest star role for this show.
Yeah.
My first guest star was on a Disney network show. They treated me very well.
Yeah.
And this was like a season finale of that show. And the lead actress and all the cast, the other kids, are all really nice.
Was Peyton List, is she from the show Jesse, the actor Peyton List?
I forget. I do know that I was a chaplain marrying the star's father and new stepmom.
Okay.
The father was John Patrick Stewart.
Okay.
No. Yes, John Patrick Stewart. Okay. He's a comedic actor. And Molly Shannon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, Molly Shannon.
Now, do you, out of curiosity, as a, do you, when you're doing an audition, do you go for like a coaching session beforehand to go over the thing, or you just work on it on your own?
At this point, I've been working at it on my own.
Yeah.
So my girlfriend's a photographer. She does headshots, but she has a studio in our place. Yeah. And so what I do now is, if it's a media role, almost any role, really, I just go down, and we'll put it on tape just for me to take a look at it and see how I'm coming across.
Okay.
So, and if it's something that I think it calls for it, I might send it to a friend. Hey, what do you think of this? Or I think it's changed something.
Yeah, so you when you go in, when you audition, you're going in there with a little, you know what I mean? A little more preparation than maybe some might do.
Definitely more than I initially would.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you found that it's helped?
I have. I think it's helped. I feel like I know where I come across better now by looking at the tape, watching what I'm doing. And that, I think, certainly helps. And then just the experience of auditioning, you get to understand where you need to work, how your prep needs to go for you to be ready. Because it's always going to be some surprise happening in that room.
Yeah.
So one of the keys is doing everything you can that you can control to be ready.
Yeah.
And then that way you can handle whatever curveball they throw at you. So,
what is the impetus to make you move to Los Angeles?
It got to the point where I was coming up too much.
Yeah.
So when I first booked those roles, it was still too few and far between.
Yeah.
And I booked, you know, one or two.
What was your ratio, would you say, to auditions to booking?
Well, my agents at the time wasn't super strong,
yeah.
So I wasn't getting a ton of auditions for one.
Yeah.
But I don't know, 1 in 10 maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something.
It's pretty
like,
good.
You know. And so, but then I didn't get a whole lot of auditions.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Sure. But yeah. So at first it started out, once or twice a year. Then it was like twice to maybe twice a year was typically a thing, and then like a year and a half ago, I got all new representation. Commercially and theatrically, and I was coming up like almost every day.
Yeah,
and especially a year ago, right before I moved up, it was like every. It was really intense. It was made no sense to live in San Diego. So that was like, okay, I've got to move because it doesn't make any sense.
Were you going on a lot of? And just because maybe I see from like your Facebook, a lot of it is procedurals, or it's more on the drama side, like. A lot of stuff that you do.
Yeah, it was always the it was the NCIS.
Yeah,
been into there a lot. Scorpion, I've been a lot, which I actually booked. The Bones, these shows that were these procedural, dramatic, police, detective, FBI shows.
Yeah,
so that was my
thing. And you seem to be just kind of constantly working.
Between commercial and theatrical and the good, I'm auditioning or working pretty steadily.
And what are you doing to keep, are you in like a scene study class? Or are you still doing?
I just started taking another class.
And when's the last class you took before this
prior one? To that, I think the last class I was involved with was Billy Coward's class.
So it'd been a couple.
Couple years.
So how did you stay sharp? Your instincts and the preparation before that, or
well, I don't know. I did improv with the Hinges from San Diego for a while, but that was still while I was still taking classes. Yeah. I did a couple of theater things, too. I felt that helped, and then it got to be just the prep for the audition and the auditions, what I thought was really helpful, for me too.
So it's kind of on the job, training
just,
in a way.
Yeah, just doing it. The more you do it.
So what are the next moves? I mean, from me, I audition, a lot of Disney stuff, mostly comedy stuff. Mm-hmm. I audition for and stuff like that. But just from my side, you seem like you're just really successful. But I know probably to you, you're like, I have other goals past this, or I'm sure you're thinking. Not thinking past it, but you're doing the work and you're enjoying where you're at, but I love doing stand-up, but would I love to have a Netflix special? You know what I mean? Thinking about that Netflix special. Not that I am doing that. I'm just picking
something.
It's
like their hand knows I like candy, man.
I hope so. I'll take one. I'll take one. I don't care.
Every time I look at Netflix, some new comedian I hadn't heard of. I'm like, whoa, who's this guy?
There's a lot of really...
Why have not seen Jason Horton yet on Netflix?
there just must be other people that are more competent at it.
And the places you play, it seems like they kind of pick from you. See a lot of the writers are, throwing stuff out on the too.
It's great. But do you have those things where you're like, I would like to, go from, obviously guest star to star, you do mostly television.
It's mainly been, I've auditioned for some major feature films and I haven't booked any of those, but the TV shows are where I've seen excel a little bit more. So guest stars have been my thing for a while, and now because I've done some guest stars and got some great roles, series regular is where we're looking.
So we're looking at series regular.
Series regular is.
Have you recurred on any of these shows?
No.
We're good with one. They were like, they get you one day. They're like, we're good with the.
The guest star. Yeah. You can. I've worked multiple days as guest star, but not a recurring guest star.
Okay.
For Lethal Weapon, I was guest star. Now it was with Beth Littleford.
Okay.
And Damon Wayans is the star of that show. And that has some controversy lately.
I've seen that controversy. I don't know where. Yeah. I don't follow the show, but I knew about that controversy. Yeah.
So we did that first episode for the season opener for season two. And then in January, my agent called me, hey, they want to put you on a veil to come back as this internal affairs agent.
Yeah.
Like, cool. I'm sitting there, and then nothing came of it. So I ran into the other couple of actors that were IA agents with me on that episode, and they were like, yeah, we got the same call, and then nothing happened. So we're guessing that because of whatever drama happened on the show, they probably just backed off that show idea, which is fine. But I've auditioned for some other interesting things recently.
Yeah. I thought. What about like writing? Do you ever think about like creating your own thing?
I it's crossed my mind, but I don't have any writing skills. No. I don't.
You don't need them. It turns out. Sometimes you don't need them. Look at the internet. Like sometimes you just don't need them. But you like reading people's great words, right? I mean, is that like for an actor? It's like you like really good. I'm sure you've gotten some scripts where you're like, okay, well, this is not necessarily like my favorite thing in the world, but I'm gonna do right by it and by some things you read where you're like, this is really good stuff.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Yeah. I get a lot of independent things that people ask me to do, and generally I like them. Yeah. There has been a few of people that I don't know that send stuff and I don't like it. I say I don't know if this is gonna be a fit for me. Yeah. But you gotta pick the stuff that's gonna be a fit for you and maybe helpful for you, or something that you are interested in doing.
Yeah. You know? Well, I've learned a lot about you. This is very.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering. This is an interesting road we went on. I thought anyway. I don't know. You might think it's not interesting. I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, that was boring.
Not at all. I was very. A lot of this stuff I'm even asking and talking about is just selfish for me. I'm not thinking about anyone else out there enjoying it. I'm only thinking about me enjoying it. I get like that sometimes with the show. I just like to hear people tell me stories. I just want people to tell me. I invite people to tell me. I like to hear more about other people than I do like talking about myself. So there's also I just find it really fascinating.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So do you have like do you have your own website? Do you do that?
I don't have my own website. I just do the IMDb.
Yeah.
That's the link that I do.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just because I have enough credits to where it's okay to show that. I mean, I did for a while when I had very few or almost no credits.
Right.
Do a website to show, this is what I can do.
I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't like put out his website to show what he does. You know what I mean?
No. You know, a lot of actors will still do it because they want to be able to present themselves.
Right. They do a lot of other, you know, they want to showcase their.
Yeah.
Other
and they want to do it outside of the format of IMDb.
But yeah.
Most people. And, you know, you have an actor's access account as that. You know, you post your clips and all kinds of stuff there. So I let my agent handle that. But I still submit myself to stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I still submit myself to some things. My commercial agent submits me to great stuff.
You're just constantly, like, just putting yourself out there to get more work.
Yeah.
More work.
Another thing I do, too, and I don't know if other actors think about this, is I let my agents know when I'm doing stuff. San Diego and two in L.A., so I'll let them know, hey, I'm doing this thing. I got this theater show kind of, just so you know. And I don't want them to watch it or come to it. I just want them to have this idea that Merrick's always busy.
Yeah.
Merrick's that busy actor, and I'm the guy in their mind.
You're not just waiting for them to, you know.
No. Yeah. Any actor that thinks they get an agent, they can just sit back.
Okay, no, at all. Not even close. No. I mean, I got to contact my agents and managers now. I was like, listen, I just did a podcast. All right? Hear me.
Tell them that you're active. That's all.
Yeah,
hey, it's one of you guys are still looking. I got this podcast that does really well. Yeah. It's showing my funny side.
Oh, they know about it. They know about it. I show up to their house and tell them, though. That's the thing. Let them know that I was in the area and I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah, on a Saturday at 9 p.m.
just sitting down for the week. Ah, no, this is the perfect time to show up. I know you're going to be home.